As a business owner, it's important to keep your business connected. Spectrum Business is committed to keeping your business online whenever and wherever you need us, all backed by the Spectrum Commitment. Get fast, reliable internet starting at $40 per month when bundled, or level up your internet speed and get a 3-year price guarantee. Learn how Spectrum Business can help your business stay connected at spectrum.com/business. Restrictions apply. Services not available in all areas.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
This season, a new hot deal has arrived at Metro. $25 a line for 4 lines with all the data you need and 4 free Samsung Galaxy A15 5G phones. Getting Metro's best deals is easy. No ID required, no activation fees. Get a new number or keep your own. It's up to you. That's 4 lines for $25 a line plus 4 free phones. Visit a store or go online today. Only at Metro by T-Mobile.
When you join Metro Plus Tax, for a limited time and subject to change. Max one offer per account.
Don't forget, you're 2 days away from the Landing in Liberty's draft party, the fans draft party, this Thursday, April 24th, starting at 6 p.m. Should be a fun time. Bink, who will join us here in about 25 minutes, who he's just getting more and more pissed because picks are getting told they'll be where they're going to be selected. If you missed it, Cam Ward has been told by the Tennessee Titans that he's going to be the number one overall pick on Thursday.
Has that been official? He's been told by the Titans already that he's... I don't know if it's beneficial. Yeah.
But it's official.
It's official. Okay.
According to Adam Schefter.
I don't know if it's beneficial either, because the one rumor that I saw yesterday that I thought was really good was that the potential of trading Brock Purdy to the Tennessee Titans yesterday kind of picked up a little bit of steam. I thought was coming out, for whatever reason, coming out of Minnesota, this rumor started. Mm. And I'm like, I'm in on that one. I'd rather take Brock Purdy than draft Cam Ward. That's just where I am on quarterbacks. I'm always very skittish about the college quarterback. Obviously, Mahomes is a win, but if you're the Tennessee Titans and you're not sure if Cam Ward is really him, then is Brock Purdy the answer? I would think maybe Brock Purdy could be a better avenue for the Tennessee Titans.
No, but I kid. It's not official.
Okay.
It's what everybody thinks. So that's why we bring up the draft, but it's from parody accounts and all that sort of stuff. From like Adam Schefter, whatever they want to call him.
Yeah.
But no, Thursday, 24th of April, this Thursday, Landing in Liberty. The cash prize is $965 available again, plus an autographed Juwan Taylor helmet. 1 point for player drafted. So Cam Ward, Tennessee Titans, you're welcome.
Yep. Or there's a trade.
Yeah. You get 1 point or 3 points if you get the right player on the right team. Your sheet must be turned in prior to the first pick on the clock, and the whole entire fan staff will be in attendance for that night at the Landing in Liberty. So make sure you come out. Get the Big Bob's Variant Pretzel, $9.65. The Ben Maller Chicken Fingers, which I'll devour myself. Fasting until Thursday so I can eat 7 of them.
There you go.
I'm kidding. But no, Mitch Holtis was on the show yesterday, and he gave us some insight about, like, you know, the draft. He brought in his draft Bible. The thing's the biggest book I've ever seen in my life, and I've literally read every single Game of Thrones book together, all of them stacked together.
That's huge.
As what that is. But no, Mitch had something to say where, he talks about, like, the draft, and, you know, he likes this guy out of William & Mary.
But my guy is Charles Grant of William & Mary.
Charles Grant.
All right. William & Mary. His length, 34 7/8. You watch his video. Ooh. He is Trey Smith playing tackle because he takes no prisoners. He wipes people out. You're going, well, wait a minute. He's playing Wofford and, you know, who's he playing?
Liberty,
I don't care.
Yeah, right.
And a high school wrestler, which is a big deal to me because it's a big deal to our staff. If you look at high school wrestlers, great high school wrestlers, Creed Humphrey comes to mind here. That becomes such a big part of playing on the offensive and defensive lines. Mm. The use of leverage, quickness, hand placement, move, counter move. And so this guy was an awesome high school wrestler. He stayed at William & Mary. He is a bit of a dinosaur because I think these guys are, you're not going to be able to find these guys at FCS anymore. They're all getting poached by NIL. But if you go watch his video, you're going, if you're going to take a developmental guy, you take this guy. I love it. Now, his negatives are punch quickness. He plays in a zone-heavy scheme. We'll play some zone, but not a lot. You know, we're doing a lot of power O, man blocking, double team and stuff. And then you have to be an awesome pass blocker. But to me, if you want my sneaky, if perfect world, I take Alfred Collins at any one of these picks on the defensive side. But offensively, I love Charles Grant and William & Mary.
So he likes that kid out of William & Mary. But if he's in the honey spot, which he describes here.
Well, the honey spot to me is actually those picks 63, 66, and 95. And I think Brett Veach alluded to it the other day in his presser. After pick 20-ish, from 21 to 100, you got a chance to get some really good players. And I mean starters, potential Pro Bowlers, all-pro guys.
So you add those two together. He likes the kid out of William & Mary because he's strong. He's not like a, what do you call him, a dinosaur, because normally these guys get poached for NIL or transfer portals. And then he says the honey spot is like that, those two picks in the third and that fourth round pick.
Yeah.
Those last three inside the top 100.
Well, that's where they've done a really nice job, I think, in the Brett Veach era of going out and getting guys kind of in those middle rounds. As we talked about yesterday, we don't have first round picks here in Kansas City because, I don't know, we've traded them for a quarterback and, you know, some other things over the years. They just don't have many first round draft picks. But if you're talking those picks, like, what did he say, 21 through 100, you start to look at who the Chiefs acquired at some of those spots. Rashi Rice, number 55 overall. You look at George Karloftis. He was number 30. 21 overall that same year was Trent McDuffie. So this team has gotten some really good players in that spot. Brian Cook, one of their safeties, coming in at number 62. Nick Bolton, 58th overall. Creed Humphrey, 63 overall. You know, you look at Willie Gay Jr., 63 overall. Juan Thornhill, 63 overall. You're seeing a pattern here. Chiefs always seemingly picking at 63, and then you go back to, you know, Derek Nnadi at pick 75. I mean, there's some nice picks. Colin Saunders, Juan Thornhill, all of these guys coming in that kind of that honey spot for the Kansas City Chiefs, and what, you know, Mitch is looking at is kind of that area where they need to go dominate and get a lot of guys, and they've done that in the past. And so if you were to say to Brett Veach, I don't know, your sweet spot is the area that you've dominated in for the last, I don't know, 5, 6, 7 years, that's a pretty good spot in which to be. And so I'm excited about that, because while this draft isn't top heavy and there's not a lot of dudes that you really know because the quarterback class is very mid at best in this draft, that 21 to 100 has got a lot of players in it, a lot of defensive linemen in it. And Brett Veach has three picks from 21, right? 21 to 100, or four picks, I guess, from 21 to 100, because you count that first round pick in there. He's got the opportunity to do some damage. I mean, Brett Veach may come out swinging a big time bat with those picks, or he may trade them all and then get somebody else in return.
Yeah, it's interesting to think about. You're right. Those two picks stacked together, that's an asset. You know, that could be used to get two awesome players like we've seen. You mentioned Creed Humphrey being one of those guys too in that spot that he's gotten. Or it could be, hey, I want to move up a little bit. I want to gain some more. Here's two of these nice picks in the honey hole, honey spot.
Right.
However you want to put it. And yeah, it could be awesome. Yeah,
I think, look, I think also, too, like, if you were going to tell me you could trade these picks for players that are currently in the NFL, now this is where I differ from the quarterback. I would go out and get a proven quarterback. But if I'm Brett Veach, your success has been in the draft. These are valuable picks. If I'm them, unless you're moving up for somebody in the draft and you need to kind of package one of those picks to jump up in the first round because there's somebody there that you really, really want and covet, and that's fine. I agree with that. But like trading them for a current NFL player, I think Brett Veach does a better job of drafting guys, and especially kind of where they are with the salary cap. You need a lot of these mid-round picks to get onto your roster, and a lot of these mid-round picks to hit, because that's where you're going to save some dough paying these guys these rookie salaries and getting great production out of them, like you did with an Isaiah Pacheco. Pound for pound, other than Patrick Mahomes, dollar for dollar, Isaiah Pacheco is probably your best value on the team right now, because he's making nothing and produces at such a high rate for you.
Yeah, I think that when you look at, because obviously we can all probably agree this is the most least exciting draft that we've had for quite some time as a Chiefs, you know, follower or fan, or, you know, somebody that's really diving into this team consistently. I don't, you know, like necessarily I wouldn't be, I don't know what they're going to do. I don't know if they trade up, if they trade back, if, because I could see them just getting out of the first round. I really could.
Yeah.
Because then you make that honey hole even more ripe, because then you're getting, you know, what, maybe 2-3 picks in the second round, 2 picks in the third round, a pick in the fourth. Like, then you're really kind of putting your entire future in those 4 or 5 picks. because as Mitch told us yesterday, they don't necessarily draft for because of the luxury they had. And I asked him, I was like, is it arrogance to say, like, when people are like, well, who are they going to draft? Like, nobody for this year.
Right.
And it's like, that's why that Simmons kid, I think, is he from Ohio State? Is that right?
That's an interesting one that I want to talk to Binkley about. I'm intrigued by him, man.
Because it fits. So it doesn't, and it does fit a couple of theories because Veach has been notably known to say Big Ten players are off the board for him.
Especially Ohio State players, right?
And
my alma mater's cheating.
So you put that into the universe of existence, and then you talk about what Mitch said yesterday about how it's not arrogance, Dusty. It's actually a good point that they don't draft necessarily for, you know, this year's team because they're already set. They told you what they were doing. They brought back Kareem Hunt, Juju Smith-Schuster, Hollywood Brown. This is the team they're rolling with. We found out yesterday, right? Am I wrong? That Andy Reid said in a press conference, they are going to run with Kingsley Suamataia and Frank Caliendo's son, Mike, mm-hmm. at left tackle to see who can win out the job.
Or left guard.
At left guard.
Yeah.
So there's your left guard answer. Left tackle.
We've got a left tackle. I'm getting tired of people saying we don't have a left tackle here, and the Chiefs have. They signed Jalen Moore this offseason, right? Did we miss that?
It happened.
It did happen. And so, little by little, they're letting us know because left guard is officially now a competition between two guys. We know what left guard is going to be. Left tackle, as you mentioned, Moore was signed. Trent Williams is backup in San Francisco, who was decent as a backup, small sample size, like six games.
But the Chiefs gave him decent enough money for a first round or a first signing in the, right. in the free agent market. You know?
So then... I don't know what the contract was. Was it 2 years?
With an out after the first year, I think.
Yes. So then if you are not drafting for this year and you have the availability to pick this guy at left tackle and you believe he is the cream of the crop at that position, just not ready to go this year, then maybe that does make sense.
Well, and it does. And I was kind of looking at it yesterday, and I even, you know, reached out to Binkley about it, and we'll get his take coming up in about 15 minutes, what he thinks. But if you don't know, the Simmons kid from Ohio State is an offensive tackle. He's really, really good, but he's injured. He's got a knee injury, right? And so he can't play, they're saying, maybe football activities until August. And I thought about that. I'm like, God, you don't need this guy to come in and play right away. You've got, you know, Jalen Moore that you went out and signed this offseason. And so if you can draft a guy that's a first round talent, like a legit first round talent, one of those top 20 guys, and he falls because of injury, aka Trey Smith falling to the sixth round, this Simmons kid from Ohio State would probably not make it past the first round if he continues to fall. But if he's there at number 31, that kind of, to me, I like that pick. And I could be totally wrong on that one. And Binkley may have a completely different take about it when we talk to him. Matt McMullen of Chiefs.com will be in the 9 o'clock hour to talk about it as well with us. I don't know, guys, what do you think? Would you be willing to take that kid at 31, knowing he's not going to be ready to August, but also knowing in the back of your mind, you're probably not going to need him for an entire calendar year, and he can spend this whole year learning that left tackle position, and then you slide him in, and then next year you've got a first-round talent potentially starting at left tackle. I think everything about that makes a lot of sense. The only thing I don't know is the medicals, and I'm not going to pretend I'm some doctor on the internet and go on radio shows and talk about injuries that I don't know about, but from the situation that you know looks like pretty cool, man. Like that's the kind of move I would make if you're the Chiefs. Like, you don't have to go out and hit a home run ever in the first round, and you got an opportunity to take a guy in the first round that could potentially be your long-term answer, but nobody wants him because he's got a banged up knee, but will be ready by August. What the hell, right?
I'm totally in on that. I couldn't agree more, Bob, because if it doesn't work, you're right. You have four more years of a first round talent at left tackle, which is the spot for the last 4 years or so that we've all gone every year. Well, all right, left tackle. Let's hope Orlando Brown, or let's hope this guy works out. I don't know what we're going to do.
Yeah.
And we don't know what Jalen Moore is going to do. I mean, what if we get to week 10, Jalen Moore hasn't been good? Then, okay, you got this first round talent who's now ready. He's healed up. He's ready to go. Let's put him in. And Jalen Moore, worst comes to worst, he's a guy who can play every position pretty much besides center on the offensive line, who you sign, and great. All right, he's a depth piece.
So let me ask you guys this. Is there going to be more patience with the left tackle or more patience with all these outfielders not being able to hit? You know what I'm saying? Like, immediately we were on top of these outfielders. Jalen Moore is not going to stand a chance here in Kansas City, is he? Like opening night, Friday night in Brazil against the Chargers, he gets beat, you know, by whoever in the first quarter, and Patrick Mahomes gets sacked. That guy's never going to recover because it's the first game of the year. It's the most scrutinized position. It's the position that let you down in the Super Bowl. Everybody's going to be focused on that position. Like, I kind of feel bad for Jalen Moore. I feel like he's a guy that literally is out there on an island, but also is a guy that's going to be so over scrutinized that he's never going to stand a chance here to get it right. So I ask you, are people going to have more patience with him or more patience with MJ Melendez?
Well, you don't have to worry about MJ's.
Right. Or Hunter Renfrow. Whatever, yeah. You know, slappy that they have out there trying to hit a baseball, right? Are we going to have more patience with those guys, or are we going to have more patience with Jalen Moore? Because I just feel like Jalen Moore makes that first mistake and it is over for him, because he's got to cure all the ills that have been at the left tackle position for the last couple of years.
So I just want to clear the air.
Yeah.
I don't think nobody cares about the draft, because we got a text. No, this is not a boring draft. This draft determines if it really is the last dance or not. Dusty undermines how much the draft means to the fan base. I'm not undermining anything. I'm just telling you, when I say it's boring, it's because you don't need a significant need. You're not out there drafting a future quarterback. You're not out there trying to draft a wide receiver. I think this is the last dance for Travis Kelce. I don't think this is the last dance for the team.
Oh, yeah. This has nothing to do with the team in the last dance.
You know, the text message continues. Dusty, the last draft each hit, all are coming up on extensions. And, you know, are the shape of the team going to change? Quit downplaying the draft because you think nobody cares. Again, I don't think nobody cares. I'm just telling you, like, I have talked to my friends, small group, right? Like 8 people. And I've said, how excited are you about for the draft? Like, eh. I'll have it on. Like, I'm going to see, because like that, we're not Jacksonville. We're not Indianapolis. We're not the Raiders. We're not a team drafting a guy that's going to reshape the franchise. This is not the last dance for the team. Mahomes is 30 years old. Your two wide receivers are on year 2 and year 3, and they're young. Mm-hmm. Your tight end
may be suspended for the first few
correct.
Years.
Your tight end is going to be leaving.
Right.
But that's his last dance. It's not the team's last dance. And those players that you mentioned, Nick Bolton's back. Right? He's there. Leo Chenal is part of the draft that you're talking about with Trent McDuffie, who I still believe will get signed once the Trey Smith ordeal is over.
Yeah, that's got to be finished before anything else gets taken place. Yeah.
Trey's going to be back. Creed's here forever. You're probably going to sign Trent McDuffie. You're going to sign, maybe not Leo Chenal, because he might be like in the Willie Gay situation where it's like, yeah, you might get 5 or 6 more million from somebody else who's willing to overpay you that has a lot of salary. But to think that the last dance is over and to think that nobody cares about the draft is not what I'm saying. Everyone is tuned into the draft. I'm excited for the draft. I just don't think it's an exciting draft for one Kansas City Chiefs player, because, yeah, you might be diving into Simmons or to where Shadur is going to go. And again, that would debunk your theory that it's an exciting draft for the Chiefs. You're more excited for the draft itself. I'm not downplaying the draft at all. I think it is a very fun night. But for me as a Chiefs fan and somebody who follows this team, I'm okay waking up the next morning and being like, oh, they traded out of the draft. Okay, cool.
I like the fact that our draft picks aren't that exciting. That means we're doing good on the field, right? Like, if you're excited about the draft, it's because your team was 2-15 and you're picking number 1 or you're picking number 2. Right. Or if you're a Giant fan, you just want to get it over with so they can screw this one up and move on to a new regime. Same with the Jets. You know how it works. But like, you're picking number 1. When we were picking number 1, that was an exciting draft. I mean, we were the number 1 pick that year in 2013. Now, obviously, the players are kind of like they are today. There was no standout quarterback at the top of the draft.
Eric Fisher.
The Chiefs took Eric Fisher and became a mainstay at left tackle and was a mainstay for your first run at the Super Bowl. Without Eric Fisher, who knows where we are on that offensive line. He's the last good left tackle that we had. But I think it's fine to sit here and say there's not a lot of excitement for the Chiefs in this draft. There's a lot of building that can be done in this draft. But I think excitement is when you have the number 1, number 2, number 3, number 4, number 5 pick, and you're getting ready to pick that quarterback. You know, yeah.
If you're in the top 10, you're on the edge of your
seat. But you're also a bad football team, and you're probably pissed at your franchise anyway, unless you traded it to the top 10.
Which is why the draft's exciting, because you're trying to go from bad to new beginnings.
You're trying to exactly, and you should be more excited. Like when the Chiefs had the number 1 pick in 2013, they also had a new coach, a new general manager, right. A new regime. It was all new, and the excitement was there. If you're picking in the top 10 and it's the same coach and the same regime, are you excited, or are you looking at it going, God, I hope they don't screw this one up again? Because there is that. So there's different levels of excitement. I think this is a draft to kind of restock your team, which is what every draft is going to be. And the last dance, stop using that term, whoever's coming up with that, because as long as Patrick Mahomes and Andy Reid are here, there is no last dance. This party's going well into the night, man.
Real quickly, let's get into some Tough Tuesdays or our hot corner during the baseball season. Bob, take it away.
Well, I'm going to go with the draft attendance. I heard that they're expecting 250,000 people.
How many people live in Lambeau?
Well, yeah, exactly. I don't know how many people live in Green Bay, but the number, they have 4,600 hotel rooms in Green Bay, Wisconsin.
446?
4,600 hotel rooms in Green Bay, Wisconsin, okay? Heard the numbers this morning.
How many RPOs are there?
A lot, right? So they have 4,600 hotel rooms. Just figure max four people to a room. You're talking about 16,000 people, right? Where are the rest of them staying?
Yikes.
Where are the rest of the people staying? Wow. And who goes four to a hotel room unless you're like us on our baseball trip and we're cheap? But like, where are all these people staying? Because Milwaukee's almost 2 hours away from Green Bay, so it's not like you're going to get tanked on your light beer and cheese curds and drive down the interstate to get to Milwaukee. But you're expecting 250,000 people to go to this draft, and the town can house 16,000. Something's not right with these numbers. We're lying about these draft numbers of all these people that are showing up. 250,000 people. How many live in Green Bay?
Little over 100, 105,000.
Okay. So you're doubling the population and then some, and only have room to house like 16,000 people roughly. If you're doing four to a hotel room, these numbers are fake.
Somebody needs to call Tom Bodad.
Yeah, right? Exactly.
We'll leave the light on for you.
I mean, I just, the numbers don't add up here. The numbers do, because you're counting on every single person in Green Bay to be there.
Yep.
Double that and then some, and then house them. I ain't buying what the NFL's peddling on that.
No, that's a good point, especially like you think B&Bs, well, okay, well, are there enough houses for that? Where are the other people living who live there?
Right, like, where they, like, do sense. They not go to work? Yeah, I mean, exactly. Because the draft's here doesn't mean your life stops,
no,
right?
Math, the math is not mathing.
I didn't know the sponge is supposed to be wet. Yeah,
that's a tough Tuesday for Nico as well. I would say the New York Knicks lost a close game to the Pistons at home.
In front of Timotei.
Front of Timotei.
A lot of
Chalamet.
Stars at the game in New York.
A lot of stars. It's kind of fun watching Knicks games for that reason.
Is, it's I love to compare the stars at the Knicks games compared to the stars at the L.A. Lakers games.
Yeah, it's awesome. No, it's
which
it's,
is bigger?
I think New LA. York, really? I don't know. Okay, that's fair. I feel like L.A. is probably bigger in the boxes.
Older Hollywood in L.A., younger Hollywood in New York.
Yeah, you got Chalamet and stuff
Spike
like that.
Lee. I mean, Susie Esselman's been there. Stiller.
Spike Lee is the Larry David of the Knicks.
Yeah, he's there. Yeah, especially he's there, Larry David. He's graying up too. But yeah, a tough loss for the Knicks last night.
Hate to see it. Jalen Brunson.
Flopping city.
But let's just focus on LeBron flopping.
Exactly.
My tough Tuesday is the Colorado Rockies. They are the worst baseball team in the league. They come to Kansas City this week, and they're going to make the worst offense look really, really good.
I hope so.
Please.
And that's got to be bad for your franchise, because they're going to come to this game and be like, oh, we're playing the Royals? Okay, at least not that tough. 6-0 tonight.
No, the Rockies shouldn't look at anybody and say they shouldn't be tough. The Rockies are an abysmal abomination of an organization with an owner that doesn't want to win.
Yeah, they're going to look really bad when they come into Kansas City with a team that ranks 30th in runs and can't hit themselves out of a wet paper sack. Tonight, Royals are going to absolutely crush the Rockies. I'm speaking into existence. Ooh. They're going to sweep the Rockies. They're going to win four of their next five, and they're going to get everybody back in their seats. And by this time next week, they're going to be 500.
I know that I'm hard.
Yeah, we'll see. Well, they got to do it. There's no excuse. Like, if you don't sweep the Colorado Rockies, I got sorry, man. Like, you got to take.
Some people follow the rules, but where's the fun in that? I'm Soraya, and this is Rule Breakers, the podcast where we celebrate the rebels, the risk takers, and the ones who make their own way. Every week, I sit down with the boldest voices in sports, entertainment, and beyond to talk about breaking barriers, defying expectations, and rewriting the rules. No limits, no apologies, just real talk. Follow and listen to Rule Breakers with Soraya, an Odyssey podcast, available now for free on the Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.
Take care of business.
Do you know why I pulled you over? I ran red light, ran red stop sign, didn't go through the yield sign, looked through the end, speeding.